Hello, I am Mahendra Gupte. Let's look at Chapter 4, Terms of International Trade, or the Incoterms. An introduction to Incoterms. What are Incoterms? Incoterms are terms for trade, international trade, which are set up by the International Chamber of Commerce. International commercial terms published by International Chamber of Commerce define cost, risk, and responsibility, and use globally in trade contracts. So, what are Incoterms? As we understand, they are international commercial terms published by the International Chamber of Commerce, ICC. They define what all? They define the cost, risk, and responsibility. Let's understand here, they do not define the cost of the product or the commodity that you want to sell, but the cost of actual logistics that is happening physically. Used globally in trade contracts, that means that what is it? When we say C&F, what does that mean? Or when we say X works, what does that mean? Now this, when you say X works, which is one term of the Incoterms, or C&F, which is also another term in the Incoterms, you need not further try and explain what they mean. They will be followed as they mean in the Incoterms, which are in force. Now, what do you understand by in force? Which means that the Incoterms are revised on a regular periodic basis, usually a period of 5 years or 10 years, and as a result, most of these contracts would have the mention or the clear indication there as to which Incoterms is going to be used. What is the need for Incoterms? To avoid misunderstandings, reduce disputes, standardize trade practices, and clarify buyer-seller roles. Avoid misunderstandings, as I said, you need not try and explain once you have used one of the Incoterms. Reduce disputes, there are no disputes there. Once everybody is complying to the Incoterms, that has already been decided or documented. Standardized trade practices, when these Incoterms are specified, that is how trade would be practiced. That means if the Incoterm is X works, while there could be support from a seller in terms of hiring a C&F agent, in terms of the shipping line, everything else, let us understand it is not his final say. He would have to get confirmation from you as a buyer. So, but his responsibility in the X works would be to ensure that the cargo is loaded onto a truck or onto a vehicle that you as a buyer provide him at his set or agreed premises. Clarify buyer and seller roles. As I said, just the example that we just understood, the role of the buyer and the role of the seller is clarified. The responsibility borders are fixed. However, both buyers and sellers on a long-term basis further exceed that line of demarcation and to ensure that the business runs smoothly. Evolution of Incoterms was first published in 1936, goes through periodic revisions. The latest version is Incoterms 2020. Ninth set of rules from the time that it started in 1936. Importance in logistics. There is a clear clarity in the responsibility of each of the party, whose it is, whether it is the buyer or the seller. Risk transfer in the definition. When does the risk get transferred? That means now on, who is responsible for those goods and the risks that come up from that stage onwards. What is the cost allocation in terms of who claims insurance, who claims, who makes the payments, who ensures that things are in place? Global standard language. As I said, once you have mentioned one of the terms, you need not explain what it means. Incoterms 2020 classification. There are a total of 11 Incoterms. 7 cover any mode of transport and 4 covered sea and inland waterway only. That means 4 of them cover only sea water transport and 7 cover any mode of transport. Any mode of transport, the terms are ex-works, free to the carrier availability, CPT, CIP, DAP, DPU and TDP. TDP would be duty duly paid. Sea and inland waterway, 4 of them, FAS, FOB, free on board, CFR and CIF. What Incoterms cover? They cover the delivery point, the risk transfer, the transport responsibilities and export and import clearance. So this very clearly sets the guidelines or the basis for the transaction between the seller and the buyer. What Incoterms do not cover? They do not cover the ownership of the product or the consignment. It does not decide the payment terms. When will the buyer pay the seller? Quality and quantity of the products, and it does not cover dispute resolution. So if there is a dispute with respect to the quantity or the quality, that has to be taken care of. There is no Incoterm that would decide who takes care of what. It would have to be settled as per the contract that we covered in the earlier chapter. Stakeholders in trade, the shipper, the carrier, the consignee, the freight forwarder and the customs broker. Let's understand. What do you understand by shipper? Shipper or the seller, whoever is wanting to sell the products is the shipper. Carrier is the shipping line or the transport agency or the transport company that is actually moving the material or the cargo from point A to point B. Consignee is the receiver of the goods or the buyer. Freight forwarder, he is that agency in between who actually is moving the material from point A to point B. So he could be the owner of the transporter company or the shipping line. Or maybe an agent who gets work done through each of these agencies to ensure that your cargo moves from your country of origin to the destination country. Customs broker, usually customs, it would be difficult for any company to have representatives of their own being in front of the customs officials as and when their consignment is available for inspection. As a result, there are customs brokers or customs agents at each port worldwide, and they take care of, once you have appointed them, they would take care of your imports as well as exports at that port. Selecting the right Incoterm covers what? The mode of transport, the nature of goods, cost and risk, and the experience of parties. So selecting the right Incoterm is on the basis of the mode of transport that you are using. As we understood, there are any mode of transport, there are 7 of them, 4 of them cover sea transport. So if it is sea transport, you would have to use one of those 4 terms. If it is any other form of transport, you would use the other modes of transport of Incoterm. Nature of goods. Now selecting the Incoterm would depend on the nature of goods, definitely. Whether they are hazardous materials, Incoterm, hazardous materials or regular materials or perishable goods, that would decide the correct Incoterm. The cost and risk involved, the cost of the products as well as the risks involved if they are perishable goods, etc. Experience of parties, in spite of all these conditions, the experience of the parties, especially when you are trying to import from a certain region or from a certain country, you would want to use that experience to supersede otherwise or decide the right Incoterm. In summary, Incoterms simplify global trade, define responsibilities clearly, correct choice reduces risk, essential for logistics efficiency. So Incoterms simplify global trade. That means once you have said, when you are operating globally and you say material is to be dispatched on CIF basis, everybody is clear who is going to take care of what, till what stage, and when does the risk get transferred. Define responsibilities clear. That is exactly what Incoterms does. Correct choice reduces risk. So it would be very, very, very essential that a lot of thought goes in the initial stage of selecting the correct Incoterm so that the risk for you is the bare minimum. Essential for logistics efficiency. Once you have selected an Incoterm, then there is no change in how the logistics is going to move and how things will progress. Let's continue and understand the annexures to Incoterms. That means let's understand the Incoterms a little more in detail, because as I said, while it is important to understand, to select the right term, it's much the a prerequisite to that would be to understanding each of these terms before you can make a choice. Incoterms 2020, key activities, loading at origin, export customs clearance, main carriage, sea or air, insurance, import customs clearance, import duties and taxes, final delivery and unloading. So, what does the Incoterm actually cover? They cover the loading at origin, who is responsible for doing that loading, customs, who is going to do the export customs clearance, who is going to hire the main carriage, or which is the mode, whether it is going to be by sea or by air, who will be responsible for the insurance for the actual transportation, who will take care of the import customs clearance, who will be responsible to pay the duties. The duties definitely for import will be paid by the buyer, but will it be the responsibility of the seller to do it or anybody else? And the final delivery and unloading, again, whose responsibility is this, whether it is the seller or the buyer, all this is decided by the Incoterms. Now, this is a chart which is a summary for the 11 Incoterms and which defines the pink part, which is the buyer, the green part, which is the seller. Now, the changeover from the green to the red, and or the red to the pink to the green, is where the responsibility changes. Incoterms, let's understand each of them. Ex-works. Ex-works means maximum responsibility is on buyer. Seller makes goods available at premises. Buyer handles transport, customs, and all further risks from the works of the seller to his own destination. Suitable for experienced buyers. So whenever you are wanting to look at a critical part, a critical component or a critical product, and you have the experience of earlier purchasing and buying internationally, this would be a good work, because then as a buyer, the entire process is within your own control. FCA, that is fee carrier. Seller clears goods for export, delivery to carrier nominated by buyer, risk transfers at handover point, commonly used in container trade. So here in this case, let's just try and visualize what is going to happen. The seller will be responsible for loading the container, handing it over to the shipping line that the buyer has nominated. Now, which means that once the shipping line is nominated by the buyer, the seller would have to contact that same shipping line to avail of the container that is to be used for filling up the cargo. Now, once that container is filled up, the seller will take care of the customs at origin for export and hand over the container duly custom cleared to the nominated shipping line. The risk transfers at handover point. So once the seller receives the bill of lading from the shipping line, his responsibility is over, which is this term is commonly used whenever you have a container trade. The reason being that it then becomes easier because the container can be sealed and responsibility can be handed over. FAS and FOB are sea shipment. Sea transport, FS is seller delivers alongside ship. FOB, seller loads goods on board vessel. Risk transfers at port of export. Buyer bears main carriage risk. Now, in both these terms, FA and FOB, the seller, one, the seller delivers at the dock. The second, the seller delivers the goods. His responsibility ceases after the goods or the container has been loaded onto the vessel. Now, in the first case, that is FAS, once the seller delivers the material to the port, it is the shipping line's discretion as to which sailing that they would like to avail by loading this cargo. Whereas, if it is an FOB shipment, the seller will pursue the shipping line to ensure that their cargo is loaded onto the vessel that is destined for the destination. Risk transfers at port of export. While it happens at port of export, in FOB it happens after the cargo has been on board the vessel. In FAS, once it is delivered at the ship, at the dock. Buyer bears main risk carriage, which means that from the dock onwards, from the export dock onwards, the buyer takes over the entire risk further. CPT and CIP, carriage paid, seller pays main carriage, risk transfers at shipment. CIP includes insurance by seller suitable for multimodal transport. Now, seller CPT and CIP is carriage prepaid, which CPT means carriage paid to terminal, CIP means carriage insurance paid. Seller pays main carriage, that means the seller is responsible to pay in the CPT, to pay even the shipping charges up to the terminal. Risk transfers at shipment, that means once the cargo has been boarded onto the ship, that is where the risk gets transferred. CIP includes insurance by the seller. So, the seller also takes care of insuring the cargo right up to the destination. This is suitable for multimodal transport because most of the companies are placed landlocked. That means they do not have a port directly or they are not situated on a port. As a result, there would be some kind of different mode of transport by road to move the cargo from the plant to the dock and then onto the ship. As a result, that would involve multimodal transport utilization. CFR and CIF, cost and freight, or cost insurance and freight. Used only for sea transport, seller pays freight to port of import, risk transfers on board ship, CIF includes seller provided insurance. So another term for sea transport, used only, of course, CIFR and CIF are used only for sea transport. Seller pays the freight to the port of import, which means now we are talking of not only the destination port, right, like in the previous terms. Now we are talking of freight and all expenses paid as well as risk right up to the import port. Risk transfers, however, once the material is boarded onto the ship. So now there is a difference. While the seller pays the freight to the port of import, his risk gets transferred once the material has been handed over to the shipping line. That means it is on board the ship. CIF, however, includes providing for the insurance by the seller for the goods. DAP, delivered at place. Seller pays transport risk to destination. Buyer handles import clearance and duties, goods delivered ready for unloading. Now what is happening here is the seller bears the transport risk to the destination. That means the final destination of as specified by the buyer. However, the buyer handles the import clearance and the duties, and then the goods at the seller's expense will be delivered ready for unloading at the set agreed destination. DPU, delivered and unloaded. Seller delivers and unloads goods. Maximum seller obligation before DDP. buyer handles import clearance. So here in this case, DPU, that is delivered and unloaded, seller delivers and unloads the goods. That means the seller will now load the goods at his factory, reach it to the shipping line, board it onto the shipping line, unload it at the destination, and then make it and also cover the transportation to the goods for the of the goods to the destination and unload the goods at the destination. So while the entire gamut of activities is taken care of, this is the maximum seller obligation before DDP. However, the buyer will handle the import clearance at the destination port as well as pay customs duties. DDP, that is delivered duty paid. This is the ultimate Incoterm with maximum responsibility of the seller. The seller handles duties, taxes and clearance, and the buyer will only unload the goods once they have reached his destination. So, except for unloading the goods at the destination, everything else is taken care of by the seller, including the insurance, the handling of duties, the customs clearance at both export port as well as import port, everything altogether, including payment of the duty also. So the same chart which we saw earlier, now a summary of rules for sea and inland waterway for the four terms which are used commonly. Sea and inland waterway rules, FAS, FOB, CFR and CIF, risk transfers at port or onboard vessel, suitable only for bulk and non-container cargo. Any mode of transport rules, ex-works, FCA, CPT, CIP, DAP, DPU and DDP, suitable for container and multimodal transport, flexible delivery locations. Rules for any modes, this is a summary for the seven Incoterms used for any mode of transport, where again, well, the area or the blocks that you see in yellow would is insurance. They could be buyer or the seller as agreed by the two parties. In the case of CIP, the seller is the person who takes care of the insurance, whereas in the other terms, it is the buyer who takes care of the insurance. Risk allocation summary, ex work, buyer maximum risk, FCA, FAS, FOB, balanced risk, C terms, that means the CIP, CPT, etc. The cost is seller, but the risk is buyer. D terms, seller has maximum risk and also the cost. So to summarize the Incoterms, the annexures and the details that we just looked at, Incoterms define risk and cost clearly. Annexure simplifies comparison. Correct Incoterms avoids disputes and essential for logistics and the contracts. Now, this is very important to select the correct term and define it and agree to it at the outset itself. You may receive a pro forma invoice with one Incoterm. You may want to defer it because of whatever. Maybe you have the infrastructure to convert it to X works or whatever is the other issues. You should specify and discuss this with the seller so that you are finally agreeing to an Incoterm which is acceptable to both parties. Thank you.